How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Come on. It's a gorgeous day outside. Not. Hey, listen, starting a new series today. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God over the next several weeks. And I'm hoping and praying that you get a new perspective on the kingdom of God and what kingdom living looks like. And I'm really looking forward to it. I was reading, we were trying to come up with a title for our series. And I was reading the other day in the Bible. And basically, Jesus is talking, and he's talking to the disciples, and he basically says, we do these things for the kingdom's sake. And I started thinking, like, well, I can remember whenever I was a kid, and even now, my mom would always look at me, and she would say things like, "For heaven's sake, Andy." I mean, how many of you ever heard Granny say that? "For heaven's sake." Well, I started thinking, like, well, for the kingdom's sake. I was like, well, for heaven's sake. So that's what we're going to call the series. We're calling it "For Heaven's Sake." I don't really know what "for heaven's sake" means, besides that I was always in trouble or I always do something wrong, but that's not really what "heaven's sake" for. The whole reason why we are calling the series "For Heaven's Sake" is that we want to talk about how God has called us to live our lives out for heaven's sake, okay? You know, a lot of the time, majority of what I'm usually talking about when I preach, when I speak, is usually some way, form, or fashion about the Christian life, about kingdom living, because God has called us to be different. And I really believe that if we have a different mindset, if we have a different perspective, a right perspective on our lives today, it will change everything about the way that you live out your life. And so I'm hoping that starting today, we'll start the process of your thought, all right? Because it's going to change, it's going to begin in the mind, okay? You know, I truly believe that the kingdom of God is something that we all see all through the scripture, all right? We see it in the Old Testament. We see it a whole lot in the New Testament. Jesus constantly talked about the kingdom of God. How about John the Baptist before Jesus got here was basically saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." He said it over and over and over and over again. So it's constantly being taught from the Old Testament through the New Testament. You know, when we see in the Old Testament, God was really upset with the Israelites at a certain time whenever they were just demanding a king. Hey, we want a king. We want a king. And Jesus, God, was upset because they wanted a king. They were demanding a king. So he basically gave them what they wanted. But the whole reason why he was upset was because he wanted them to understand that "I am your king." So some of you may say, like, well, why would you say that? Why would you say that God was wanting to be their king? Well, because when I look in the scriptures, I see where Pilate asked Jesus whenever he was standing on trial. Basically, Pilate looks at him and says, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus looks at Pilate and says, "You have said so." In other words, you've basically answered the question yourself, because "I am the king of the Jews." While they were beating Jesus, the Roman soldiers were saying, "Hail, king of the Jews." Now, they didn't realize at that moment what they were saying in their mockery, but what they were saying was truth, that Jesus was the king of the Jews, that God was the king of the Jews. So the whole thought process of the kingdom of God has started from the very, very beginning of time. But when Jesus came onto this earth, he talked about the kingdom of God over and over and over and over again. I think there's something that he's trying to get through to us. And so today we're just going to have like an in general conversation about the kingdom of God. And then the next several weeks, we'll just talk a little bit more about what that looks like specifically, okay? In Luke 17, if you got your Bibles, you could turn there. And then, hey, go also to Colossians chapter 3. We'll spend a lot of time in Colossians chapter 3. But one of the areas where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is in Luke 17, verse 20. It says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus. They always love to catch Jesus in some kind of, they always try to catch him in some kind of lie, try to catch him so that they could hang something on him. It says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there,' for the kingdom of God is already among you." The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God, some translation says, is within you. It talks several different times that basically Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is here. The common understanding now among the Jews was that the Messiah would establish God's kingdom. So the Pharisees had been teaching. Their thought process was already there in the area of the Messiah's coming, and he's going to establish the kingdom right here on earth. All right? He's going to establish it in Jerusalem. And their thought process, their understanding was, is that God would defeat Israel's enemies and bring in a period of peace and prosperity, justice and righteousness. And so the Pharisees, in this text we just got through reading, Luke 17, they were basically challenging Jesus because they were wanting him to claim that he was the Messiah, because honestly, he wasn't doing what they thought he should be doing. They really thought that he should be defeating the Romans and establishing his kingdom physically on earth, because basically they were under persecution from the Romans at that moment, at that time in history. And so they were really, really frustrated because Jesus came as a carpenter, and here's this man who's supposed to come back with a scepter in his hand. He's got a royal purple robe on, supposedly. He's supposed to come back with a crown on his head, but he's come back building tables and furniture. Like, who is this guy? This guy claims to be the Messiah. He forgives people's sin. He has authority to cast out demons, but he is not who we are expecting, because we've already got in our mindset that this is what Jesus is supposed to look like. And it wasn't who they thought he was. They thought that he was supposed to come back and set up the kingdom immediately. Now, here's what I need you to understand. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is already among you. He was saying that the kingdom of heaven was already being revealed through Jesus, through his words and through his actions. You know, Jesus was constantly trying to teach the people that he was with on a regular basis about the kingdom of God. Even in his 40 days on earth after the resurrection, his whole focus to teach his disciples was about the kingdom of God. You know, I look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says this. It says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. By the way, I think that if you see somebody die, take their last breath, and then the next thing you see them chilling out, hanging out with you, walking through walls. There was other times that basically Jesus was standing there with people, sitting down, and then all of a sudden he just disappears. I'd be a little freaked out, all right? So Jesus was basically trying to let them know that I'm alive. But listen to the next sentence. It says, and he talked to them about what? About the kingdom of God. He talked to them about the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus constantly talk about the kingdom of God? What I believe is that Jesus was teaching the people and taught his disciples to teach about the kingdom of God. Here's what, if I was to sum up the whole entire series in one phrase, it would be this. That Jesus was teaching that the kingdom of God is not something that we're looking forward to. It's amazing how many times we sing songs about, you know, about heaven. You know, I think about the gospel caravan people, like, we're going up to heaven and we're going to walk the gates. Not walk the gates, walk the pearly streets and open up the gate. Anyway, listen, I'm so backwards, but that's why I'm never in a band. Thank you, Jesus. I'd get kicked out. Listen, but it's amazing how we're always looking forward to heaven. We're looking, it's amazing how many people are looking to a kingdom coming when in reality the kingdom's already here. And if I was to sum this whole series up in one phrase, it would be, we're not looking for a kingdom that's coming one day. We are to be living out our kingdom lifestyle now. We are a part of the kingdom now, not future. It's already here. It's part of us now. And we've got to get rid of this mindset in the area of I'm going there one day, which yes, when we leave this, we will spend eternity with God. Yes, I understand what you're saying. But we don't copy the ways of this world because this is where we live now, but we copy the ways of heaven because we're already a part of the kingdom. Does that make sense? I hope so. Because what I need you to understand now is that Jesus constantly taught on a regular basis is kingdom principles on a regular basis. The importance of living out the kingdom. Listen to what he says in the Lord's Prayer. He says, thy kingdom come. I'm doing King James. Some of y'all are going to love that. Thy kingdom come. All right, listen. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The same principles that take place in heaven, I want those same principles to take place on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. You know, what does every kingdom, what does every kingdom need to be a kingdom? Every kingdom needs a king, a domain, and a people. Every kingdom needs a king, a domain, and a people. Jesus is our king. We as a people, we live in his kingdom. We're here on this earth, but we're still living for his kingdom. Jesus is our king. What does the Bible say about when Jesus returns one day to take us home, all right? Whether you believe in the rapture, whether you believe in all meal or whatever, the Bible plainly says that Jesus is coming back one day. And it says that he's coming back on a white horse. I wish I could do my other hand. I got a microphone in my hand. Listen, some of y'all know what I'm doing. Some of y'all are like, what's he doing? Listen, it says he's going to come back with on his thigh. It's going to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is coming back as a warrior. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So he is our king. Jesus is King Jesus. The earth is his domain. How do I know that? Well, Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything is everything. Especially if you're a believer. Everything is everything. That means your car is his, your house is his, your kids are his. Everything on the earth is his. Listen, the world and all its people belong to him. In other words, you know, a king, whenever he is ruler over his domain, he has the right to move you and do anything he wants to with you because he's king and he's Lord over his kingdom. And there's a place where God has the right to do anything he wants to with us, anytime, anywhere. Because what do? We're here as believers to honor the king. I'm here to honor you, King Jesus. Why? Because we're not living this earthly world, thought process, mindset, lifestyle. We're here living the kingdom lifestyle and its principles. And the principle is that we have a king. And believers, those who've placed their trust in Jesus Christ, are his people. You know, I think the question to ask yourself is, do you live on this earth as a citizen of heaven more or a citizen of this earth more? Are you caught up with the kingdom principles more than you're caught up with earthly principles? It's a strong question to ask yourself. It's probably a question to ask God. God, are there areas in my life, which I think all of us have them some way, form, or fashion, but God, do I have a mindset that I am not of this world, but I'm of another kingdom, and I live my life like I'm a part of another kingdom because I've been blood bought, changed by the power of God, and I realize that you are my Lord, that I honor you, and you are my king, and I'm so in love with my king, and so I live with the mindset of this kingdom. You know, whenever you have the mindset of as a citizen of heaven, I need you to hear me. This is where we fix to get some juicy stuff, all right? This is where purpose comes in. When we have a mindset, of I'm a citizen of heaven, this is where everything changes. This is where purpose begins to take place in our life. If you're here today and your thought process has been on a regular basis, man, I just don't feel like I have any purpose. You know, why am I here? My God, there's got to be more to life than this. Y'all have heard me say that phrase a jillion times, almost every Sunday. There's a great possibility that if those are your thought processes, there's a great possibility that you've got a mindset of a citizen of earth and not a citizen of the kingdom. Because when you have a mindset of a citizen of the kingdom, and my passion is to honor the king and to love the king, it gives you purpose. It changes everything. No matter where you're at in life, you see things completely, radically different. You start to begin to understand why storms of this world comes. And you begin to understand that I can go up to my king and crawl up underneath his chest and allow him to protect me in the middle of it. I mean, there's a jillion different directions we can go with it. You know, when Jesus tells us all through the scripture that we're the salt of the earth, that we're the light in a dark world, that we are ambassadors of Christ, that we are aliens and strangers, not like aliens like from Mars, like meep, 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 meep. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? I'm talking about different people, aliens and strangers to this world. He's telling us that we are not of this kingdom. You are not of this world, but you're a part of another kingdom. And for us to live our lives with purpose, we live our lives like the kingdom. We live our lives like we're owned by the king. Listen, when we give our lives to Christ, we're no longer of this world or kingdom, but of another kingdom. And our lives should look differently around people. And you know, listen, I know that when I was kind of writing this out, I know for church people, you know, this is messages that you've heard before. Like, that's the kind of stuff that goes through my head. Like, yes, I know I'm supposed to be different. You know, I know I'm supposed to, you know, live for Jesus, and I'm supposed to have a different life. But I need it to really sink in, because it's amazing how many people feel like works are required for salvation or for God's approval or whatever we've talked. You know, we've talked about that a lot lately. But the reason why we're different is because it's a revelation of our salvation. It's not required. It's a revelation of our salvation and who we serve. And when people begin to see something different with us, it begins to change their thought process. We don't live moral for moral sake. We live pure because we serve a holy God. And because he is holy, I want to be holy. And there's something powerful about that. It's different. There's a lot of what we're going to talk about over the next several weeks about these things. But for starters, I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And I want us to see what it says about living for heaven's sake. What does it look like to have the mind of Christ, or look like a citizen of heaven? Or look different than those who are unbelievers, who are those who are just, you know, walking around on this earth without Jesus. So where I want to start in Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read the text, and we're just going to break it down as we read it, and I want you to see what I believe, what it looks like for a kingdom citizen, a citizen of heaven, what their lives should start looking like. And by the way, before I dive into this, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And I'm going to say this all through this text while I read it. It is a process. Now, you don't use that for an excuse. Well, I'm just in the process, so I'm going to go out to the clubs tonight, and I'll get right tomorrow. All right? That's just stupid. All right? It's a process that you're going to have to think through and let the Holy Spirit move in you. So, Colossians chapter 3, I want you to see verse 1. Let's just walk through the text, and let's just see what the Bible says about living like heaven, for heaven's sake. It says in verse 1, it says, since you have been raised to new life, new life, new life. You've got new life. In other words, your old life is dead. The new life is alive. It's new life with Christ. It says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. You know that word set right there, set your sights? It's a command. If you was to look at the Greek, it's an imperative, which is a command to us that you are to set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor. You know, whenever you watch movies or you read books about kingdom stuff, it's always, they're always talking about honoring the king. And so we as his people, we set our realities on heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then it says, think, or in some translations it says, pursue. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That word think is imperative also. It is also a command. So we set our sights and we pursue or we think on the things of heaven. Whenever you give your life to Christ, here's what I need you to understand. Is that the Bible talks constantly about renewing your mind, renewing your mind, renewing your mind, renewing your mind. Because in reality, where does the enemy attack you 99% of the time? Right here. Their lies is temptation. That's why the Bible says to put on the mind of Christ. And so if we're going to start living this kingdom lifestyle, if we're going to live out as citizens of heaven on this earth today, then we have got to change the way we think. We've got to think like we are citizens of the kingdom. It's a thought. It starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. So when I wake up and put my feet on the ground in the morning, my thought process is, how can I honor the king today? When I open the doors of my office complex or my school and I step in, I look at it in the area of God. I am a citizen of the king. I am a child of the king. I am in your kingdom. And my thought process is, God, I want to be an example for you to represent the kingdom. That's what I want to do today. God, that's my passion. Why? Because I'm not of this earth. This is just not a job that I have. This is my mission field to represent the king and to represent the kingdom. And so, God, I'm here for you. When I go to the ballpark, when I go to Walmart, now that's hard to live out Jesus in Walmart. God help us. The realities of heaven are that the realities of pork and beans on aisle 9 causes lots of issues for me. Listen, it's unbelievable how you have got to change everywhere you go. Your mindset should constantly be. And that's why you let the Holy Spirit take over your life and keep you in check. Keep you in check when you want to get angry, when you want to get mad, or you want to gossip, or when you want to you want to do earthly things. We'll find out more about that in the text. It's a thought. Got to change the patterns of my thinking to I'm a kingdom person, and I live out kingdom principles, and I want to look like my king because I honor my king. He is my Lord. You get the drift? Y'all know what I'm saying now. So even when you come into church, I'm part of the kingdom. That's who I am. So it says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life. You died to this earthly thought process. You've died to this American dream thought process. You've died to this thought process that the world has ingrained in us since we've been itty-bitties. And God says, now I'm in the process of changing your thought process, the way you think, to think like heaven. I need you thinking like heaven on earth because the kingdom of here, of kingdom of God is here. He says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So when the devil begins to tell you that your real life is depression, your real life is I can't get over this bondage, your real life is anger and frustration, and there's no way I can put it to death. When the devil starts lying to you about those things, remind him that, no. My real life is hidden with Christ, and I am to serve my King, and God can give me strength over all these areas of my life that I struggle. My real life is with the kingdom. It's a thought process. It says, and when Christ, who is your life, how many times has he told us that? Christ is my life. Why? Because he is my King. And I'm a part of his kingdom. Christ, who is your life. He's not part of my life. He's not some of my life. He's not 99% of my life. Christ is all of my life. He has every right to me. Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. And you will share in all his glory. Who is revealed to the whole world. You know, when you really begin to live out who Christ is in your life, you reveal him. You become the salt of the earth, the light in a dark place. You reveal him to the whole world. So what does that look like? What does the process? Listen, there ain't nobody here going to get saved today and roll out of bed tomorrow and be Billy Graham, all right? It ain't going to happen. It's a process. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking. That word lurking is just kind of spooky. Right? Sound like some kind of horror movie, lurking. Right? So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. For anybody in this room that thinks you perfect, I ain't got nothing lurking in me. Well, you need to get close to Jesus because he'll begin to reveal to you the things lurking in you. That's the whole part of death to self, to pick up your cross daily and follow him. Because there's things in all of us that's lurking that wants to get the best of us. It's a trap. It gets behind doors and kind of sneaks up on you. It's lurking. That word lurking has this whole idea of it's sneaky, it's deceptive, it's deceitful. Hence the whole process, the whole thought process is my heart is deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah. Because it's there. Listen, in God's eyes, he no longer sees us as sinners. He sees us as saints and as children of his. But as long as we live on this earth and we have this body of flesh that hangs off our bones, we're going to have things lurking within us that God wants to put to death. Put it to death. It says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. You're not of this world anymore. He says, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world. When you had an earthly mindset, you used to do these things. Now, I want you to look at that. I look at those as kind of outward sins. You know, it's amazing how many people, when they get saved, they talk about, I'm putting off, you know, I'm not going to have sex anymore, and I'm going to get rid of lust. I'm not going to drink no more. I'm not going to chew and date girls that do. I'm not going to do any of that kind of stuff, God. I'm going to get free. And so they get rid of all this stuff on the outside, and all of a sudden they become self-righteous. Like, whoa, I'm not drinking, smoking, chewing. Doing things I shouldn't do sexually. I'm good. But look at the next verse. He says, but now, for those that's feeling good about yourself, because I've got rid of all these other things, and boy, look at me. But now, it's time to get rid of that deep, dark, nasty stuff that we talked about last week. Let me get the roots. Let me pull it out of you. This is the stuff that we don't want to get rid of. And it's these types of things that leads to the things that come previous. It's these things that we won't let God pull the roots out of us so that we can live kingdom principles free is these things that leads to the immorality, the lust, the impurities, the idolatry, the greed, when we won't let him take this stuff out. Listen to what it says. Get rid of anger. I kind of like my anger, Andy. I feel powerful when I'm angry. Rage, malicious behavior, slander, which, you know, it's funny how a lot of these have got to do with the tongue and dirty language. What does the Bible say? From the overflow of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. Do you know the Bible talks about there's two ways to know what's in a man's heart? There's two different ways. The only two ways in the scripture it talks about is the things that you speak about, the things that you talk about. Talk about what kind of kingdom, if you live kingdom principles or earthly principles on this earth. It also talks about what you do with your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So you could tell where your heart is by where you spend your money and by the things that you say. And you want to know how deep and dark things are inside of you that God wants out, that he wants gone? The dangerous prayers is to go, God, go deep as you can. You know what he'll start working on first? Is your tongue. Because that's the overflow, what comes out here. That's not kingdom. If you can start controlling your tongue with his spirit, because you can't do it on your own, it's amazing how you can live out the kingdom in ways that you've never lived it out before. Don't lie to each other. It says, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature. You've stripped it off. You don't have this nature. You have the nature of Christ. Put it away. And all its wicked deeds. He says, put on your new nature. Your new nature is Christ. And be renewed. The kingdom principles. Renew as you learn. It's not say as you are. It says as you become. As you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In other words, it's a process. It's an everyday deal of I'm putting it off. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. See, he's not just king of the Jews anymore. After the cross, he became the king of those believers, humanity, those who want to place their trust in him. If you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, if you don't know what circumcised means, ask your mama. All right? Barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters. That's kingdom living. I'm going into my office complex. Christ is all that matters. I'm going into my factory. Christ is all that matters. I'm going into my school. Christ is all that matters. I'm walking through my doors at my house with my family. Christ is all that matters. I walk through my church doors and I walk in and Christ is all that matters. And when we have the thought process of Christ is all that matters, all that stuff, you begin to put to death and say, I don't want it because Christ is all that matters. Not because I have to gain his favor and his attention, but I put those things off because I'm in love with my King and I want to honor him because Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. The all of us is not all humanity. The all of us. He's talking to believers, those who have placed their trust in Jesus. He says, since God chose you to be the holy people. Now listen, those things that I just read all the way to verse 11, that's putting the darkness off. We're putting it out. We're getting rid of it. We're putting it to death. It looks like putting these things to death. I'm taking them off, throwing them off. But listen to what it begins to look like. When we throw these things off, we start to put on the kingdom of light. We begin to clothe ourselves in Christ. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy and kindness. Throw off darkness, put on light. This is what kingdom living looks like. In humility and gentleness. And patience. Well, we need to read this verse 13. I think think this is something we probably need to write on our dashboards and our mirrors, put it in our bedrooms, maybe over our beds. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. You want to know the greatest way to live in bondage? Is to not forgive. He says, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's a message and a phrase, isn't it? It's a lot to take in. He says, above mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Love binds together mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Love makes allowance for faults. Love forgives. Love. And when we all do our part in kingdom living for heaven's sake, and our passion is to live out who God's called us to be, and we put on the kingdom of light, we'll walk in perfect harmony. We'll walk in unity. And the number one prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17 is that the future believers would be unified like me and you are unified, God. And if we allow darkness to control us, the kingdom of darkness to control us in the area of sin, and not put off the anger and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language and lying and all the other stuff that comes with slander and lying and all that other stuff, we won't be unified. Unity is an ingredient for revival. And unity in an organization is not something this world knows about. So when the local church is unified because we want to live out kingdom principles for our King, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. Why do you think the devil split in churches left and right? How does he do it? He crawls up in people's bones and they become angry and have malicious behavior and they begin to lie about each other because they're not willing to put those things to death. They live offended and the devil knows it. So he dives into churches, God's hands and feet, God's design. And he keeps them from being unified. He says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule. Rule, not just have a little place in your heart, but rule your heart. Are you a peaceful person? Are you a peacemaker? Peacemaker, because the Bible says that blessed are those who are peacemakers, for theirs will be the kingdom of God. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Can I say something? There should be a war going on inside of you as a believer. The war should be, I know I shouldn't be angry. I know I should forgive. Man, I struggle with lust. The war should be, man, I don't want to walk in those things. I don't like those things. The war should be, man, I got to forgive this person even though I don't want to. I need to walk in love. I don't need to gossip about this person. And I'm going to fight it because I know it goes against my King and it's not a kingdom principle. And I'm a citizen of heaven, not a citizen of earth. And that's what earthlings, it's what earth people do. And I don't do those things because I represent Him. Is there a war? Or if you got so comfortable in your Christianity that you're okay with a few things and you've gone numb to the conviction of the Holy Spirit because I really enjoy this stuff? Or do you let God work on you every single day to control your tongue, to control your eyes, to walk in the workplace that I can't stand, but God, this is my mission field. You got me here for a purpose. I'm walking in, God. With kingdom principles. We're not of this kingdom, people. We're of a different kingdom. And can I tell you something? I want you to hear me. There's a great possibility that there are some of you that don't have a war going on. It's true believers have a war inside of them to do what's right for the king, because I love the king. And if you have no war, if you have no war, I wonder if you're part of his kingdom. Do you truly know him? Because those who have had, who've got a relationship with their king, they honor him with their lives and they fight tooth and nail every single day. Do they fail at times? Yes, but they don't stay there. They let the king pick them up and dust them off and move them on. Do you have a war inside? Because if you don't have a war inside, you may need to start the process of walking with Jesus and let him give you purpose to become more like him. And let God use you in large ways. Live for the kingdom of God. Kingdom principles. Change your mindset. Change your mindset. Tomorrow when you wake up or when you walk out these doors, have the mindset of I'm not of this world. I'm of a different world. Father, we love you. We praise you.